ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite. Will all the never get it right? But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Go down in history.
Has another blood bought faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever wanna be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
'Cause I'm just a nobody,
nobody.
I'm trying to tell all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well. We have talking going on, which is so cool, and fellowship time. Please don't stop. If you have stuff to finish, you keep going. I mean, truly, this is what the start of the service should be like. It is fellowship time. It is time together with friends. It's spreading that love. We're talking about reckless love as we're going through the sermon series. It's going into the kitchen area to get any donuts if they're left, or donut holes, or to get some coffee that's left. Just make yourself feel comfortable. Make yourself feel at home. And along the way, we know that there's something in the service that's for you. We just sit back, we open up, we listen, we discern, and we just let God's praise and love fall kind of all over us and into us as we go through the service today. So I hope there is something here for you this morning, but we're going to discover that together as we start singing our first song. Would you please stand? Our first two songs are all about the ones, there are two songs that we've been doing for the sermon series. There's two songs that we've been doing for the whole sermon series. We're going to keep them going right now so they're familiar to you. We start with Praise Him, and then we go to Reckless Love. Let's sing together, and let's enjoy, and let's see what the service has in store for us. Here we go. Let's sing together. All creatures of our God and King, all living things will praise.
from the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to sing. They'll sing from valleys low to mountains high, from every distant shore. The call goes out, the people rise to sing. They'll sing.
Let's go.
Praise him, let all the people praise him. Praise him, let all creation sing.
And that was pretty good. Let's continue. Here we go.
The creatures of our God and King, all living things will praise. From the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to sing. They'll sing. Praise him, let all the people praise him. Praise him, let all creation sing. Praise him, let all creation sing. Worthy to receive the glory, honor belongs to you forever. Our King and Lord, all praise belongs to you. Worthy to receive the glory, honor belongs to you forever. Our King and Lord, all praise belongs to you. Praise him, let all the people praise him. Praise him, let all creation sing. Praise him, let all the people praise him.
Song in our sermon series called Reckless Love. Thinking about those times when we received that love that we did not deserve. Let's sing together.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me.
Let these words just sink in this morning.
Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Glory overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Holy, overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
And now we continue on with talking about how it pertains to our life today.
Earth. myself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow.
Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorr, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver, who will be bringing the word this morning. I'm a little off kilter. I walked in the door at 10:55 with four confirmation students that had gone to worship at PCUMC outside of Wilton. So this is my second worship service of Sunday, which is pretty normal, but it's at a different location, in a different city, in a different county, even. So very much a blessing, and I see at least one of the students who is with me in the car. So if you see any of our ninth grade confirmation students, ask them what they thought of PCUMC, what that experience was like, if they're going to join that church instead of this one, and what differences that they noticed. And it was a blessing to be in the church. John Gimme serves that church, and he preached on the 10 lepers who are healed and the one Samaritan who goes back. And I was thinking of the Samaritan we talked about last week, and just a blessing to hear the word of God preached somewhere else this morning as well. So, like I said, I don't know if I know what the announcements are for this week. That's my explanation for why. So let's see what comes up on the screen. All right, first of all, I will ask our ushers to pass around the attendance pad so you can register your attendance with us. That's always the same. I always ask you to do that. All right, so our October congregational challenge this month by our Stewards of Creation is to use less plastic. Stewards of Creation is a new group here at Asbury who's trying to do some work to really care for creation, reducing our carbon footprint, making us aware of different issues facing our planet. And so we had a challenge in August to get outside, spend time in nature, enjoy creation. It aligned with our Green Church sermon series. This month, the challenge, is to use less plastic, and there are response cards in the pews. If you look, are they like kind of a green color or a yellow color? Yeah. So grab one of those and write your response at some point this month about what that was like to use less plastic. That might be refusing plastic straws. I know you can purchase like metal straws that you can carry with you, or just sip out of the cup using reusable containers. I know myself, I'd like to try to bring like Tupperware to restaurants, because I always take food home, and they always end up in those styrofoam, and I never take a take-home with me. Use a reusable water bottle, paper milk, juice cartons. There's all sorts of different ways. I love reusable plastic bags myself, or reusable bags instead of plastic bags. So take a second, if you take that challenge, write on that response card what that was like, or if you had difficulty with it, what you chose to take up, whatever that story might be, and place it in the offering plate sometime this month so that we can gather those together. What's our next announcement? Newcomers gathering. Go for it.
Good morning.
Got the pink mic? It made noise.
Good morning, I'm Pam Thornton, and I'm just coming to let you know about the Newcomers Gathering that will be 2 weeks from today in the Upper Fellowship Hall from 9:45 to 10:45. This is a chance for people that are visiting, if you're a visitor with us, or even those that have been members for many years, to find out what's new and happening in the church. There's a lot of different changes, a lot of different new groups that we've added and things. And so please come and find out what you'd like to find out about the church, and we could answer all your questions. Thank you.
All right. So Newcomers is a wonderful opportunity for those who are guests, who are interested in membership or just knowing how they can get connected, or for people that say, I don't know anybody anymore at this church, and you can get to know some new people and you can all be lost together. All right. Probably another announcement. All right. This afternoon, the Garden Ministry is hosting a partnership picnic at Grace Evangelical Church. So they donated the land that we use for the Garden Ministry. It's up on Eastern. So whether you've been out there and gotten your dirt under your fingernails, or you've been picking up some of the produce out here and contributing towards it, or just want to know more about that partnership and eat some good food, come at 4 o'clock this afternoon and bring a dish to share. Have anything else? All right. As always, I invite you to look in the center of your bulletin and you'll see more Did You Know things, more ways to get connected, to stay involved. So it's more than just a Sunday morning, 1 hour worship experience, but a way to transform your life and to give back. A transformational experience for us in this church is prayer and the power of prayer and praying for one another and lifting one another up. So if you have a joy or concern that you want to share this morning so we can be in prayer for you or celebrate with you, you can stand up or raise your hand, and one of our musicians will bring you a microphone so we can celebrate or be an encouragement. It's working.
We're working, okay. My name is John Sherrick, and my wife Brenda and I have a joy to share today. 5 years ago today, about this time, I was laying on an operating room table at St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester, Minnesota, and I had a significant lump removed from my left lung, and I'll just thank the good Lord that I'm here, be able to be here today. Thank you.
Thank God. Any others?
We're really on. Michael Reese, I was sharing with the band this morning. Angie stood up last week and asked for prayers for my dad. He's been dealing with esophageal cancer for the past year, stage 4, and he's ups and downs all year long. They finally took him off of chemo on Thursday or Friday. It's all a blur, but he is in home hospice now, starting Friday, but the nurse is coming tomorrow to talk to mom and to myself and talk about what that means for him and for our family, and prayers for, he's in really good spirits with everything, with the decision, and so prayers for him, but also prayers for my mom as she learns what this new chapter is and ways for us to deal with it as a family and be encouraging, and as we talked about this morning, spending a lot of time together. So mm-hmm. Thanks for all your prayers.
So one is that this afternoon, our new district superintendent, Doug Hugh, will be installed at a special worship service in Mount Pleasant. And so right after worship, I'll probably scoot out pretty quick. Pat and Pam Thornton are going to go. If anyone else would like to go too, we've got a couple more spots in the car. It's a couple hours down there, so we're going to hustle to get down there. And then the bishop.
Are you going to stop for lunch?
Maybe. Well, yes, we will, if need be. Then the bishop is going to have like a listening vision casting event as well at 4 o'clock. So we'll stay for that also, and there'll be a chance to hear Bishop Lori and come back. So it'll be a good full day. And again, if someone would like to come along, we've got a few more spots in our car. The second thing I'd like to lift up is that a concern and a need for prayer. One of the, just like you, we're all called to serve in the community. And one of the ways I'm able to do that has been working as a police chaplain or a chaplain with our police department. So last week I actually was called on the first chaplain official call where there was a death in the community, and they asked for, you know, a pastor or a chaplain to be with them in that, so I was able to serve with them. But the other is that tomorrow there's a training session for the whole police department, and they've invited me to share, to speak for a while and kind of engage them. And so I'm a little nervous about speaking to all the police officers here in Bettendorf so that I'll sound somewhat intelligent but also helpful as we gain relationship. But just prayers that that'll go well tomorrow as well.
All right, I don't want to cut anyone off, but I think we're ready now for a time of silent prayer and lifting up to God what's been on our hearts and what has been shared out loud. Then I'll offer up a prayer, and we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer as printed in your bulletin. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. God, we thank you for the ways that you have chased us down. You fought till we're found. The ways that you didn't let us go and you covered us with your love. We thank you for your grace that has surrounded us and for the times that you have lifted us up. And you've lifted up others who have been in difficult situations, who've struggled, who've battled diseases of the heart and the mind and the body. We thank you for your constant grace and presence in our lives and the trust that we have in you that you will never let us go. Lord God, we lift up to you those struggles and difficulties that have been named out loud and those that live inside of our hearts. People who are dealing with transitions, those that are mourning death or preparing to die, those that are battling diseases, and those just having a difficult time. We pray that they may feel your presence. We especially lift up to you those that are vulnerable, those that are without resources or community. Send us to their side. Give us eyes to see their hurt and their pain, and give us the ability to lift them up and to shower them with your love. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we're in the fifth of 6 weeks looking as a sermon series on Tom Berlin's book, Reckless Love. And so we've reached the fifth out of our 6 weeks, and today it's a value the vulnerable. So you might see in our first scripture reading for this morning how the vulnerable are being valued We're reading out of the Acts of the Apostles, so a book about the very early church after Jesus was resurrected, and he spent time with his followers, and then he ascended into heaven, and what happened was the Holy Spirit came, and a church started. And chapter 3, that's like the very beginning of the church. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. It's God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Sky, traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touch down on the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop, breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people go. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Busy street, see a girl in our eyes meet, does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie, too ashamed to tell his wife, he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. Yeah.
There is so much pain in this world, O Lord. Give us eyes to see those that are hurting. Give us hearts to reach out and share your reckless love with them. Put aside our human standards that judge who is worthy of love. Instead, let us care for all people, and especially the vulnerable among us. provide us with words of assurance and acts of mercy towards those who most need your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your arms for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So I want to share our gospel reading for today out of the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter. And the setting is, this is near the early part of Jesus' ministry. And if you recall, he's in the northern part of the Holy Lands right now, in the region of Galilee. And so in that area, there's the Sea of Galilee, or this large lake. And part of what we need to remember is that the Jewish folks lived on the western part of that lake. And so that on the eastern part, it was the Gerasenes, or another region called the Decapolis, or the area of 10 cities. And it was also like not only just crossing to the other side of the lake, it was crossing to a different culture, in a different country even. And so when we read in the Bible, it says, in a moment he'll say, they crossed over the sea, they were going over the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to a whole nother culture, another place. So these are not Jewish people that he's going to be with. And they're not ones that would understand, but it shows us how Jesus intentionally took his disciples with them outside their comfort zone. I mean, last week it was about the Samaritans. Here it's the Gerasenes. But as Jesus did that, he brought the good news of God's love, and we see now a miracle, a healing that happens. But again, what I want you to be aware of is how Jesus performs this healing, and then what he does with the fellow who's been healed of this of these demons, where he sends him. This is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles if you brought them for home or on the screen or in the Bibles in the pew. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains were wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding. And the unclean spirit begged Jesus, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And the man went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. We thank God for our scriptures. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, this past week I was looking in my journal and wanting to get back into a more regular routine of, you know, just writing notes and things. And so kind of reflecting, I've kept a journal, you know, for many, many years. But came across a clipping that I've had here since 2003. And it's a clipping about a fellow named Todd. Todd had a auto repair shop in the town where I lived. And I would go see Todd just as a way to get to know somebody in the community, but I also needed my car fixed, and so he would do that. Todd also, so I didn't know him well, but just was somewhat of an acquaintance, and Todd also came to our church a few times. So it was a really surprise and a shock when I learned that Todd had completed suicide, taken his life. So the article is actually the obituary that, you know, I didn't know him well enough even to attend the funeral or what the details were, but it has stayed with me. He was right there in our community. I saw him occasionally. He'd even been to our church. I had no idea what was going on in his mind. And so that was on Monday earlier last week, and was preparing for this week's sermon as well. And the story that, you know, the thought about valuing the vulnerable has been the theme that is for this week as a way to talk about God's reckless love. And was kind of considering how, you know, the vulnerable, to be vulnerable is to be unable to help yourself. How many have ever been there in some situation where we've been weak or we've been powerless, and it's really up to somebody else who could either take advantage of us or give us a hand and help us out? And so thinking about the story as well, the healing, the demoniac or the man with a demon who'd been healed, how vulnerable was he? He was beyond that which he could help, and I've always appreciated that story and was looking forward to preach about that. And thinking about as well just of how, you know, in the Bible times, they thought it was demons and things that caused all kinds of illnesses or things. But in some ways, this might have been like a mental illness. And, you know, was thinking about how mental illness is a great need in our society, the need for mental health. And so was preparing to think about, you know, a theme for today about mental health, about some of those who are vulnerable or those dealing with mental health issues. And then it was later in the week that Pastor Heather sent me a message. He said, "Did you know Thursday was like Mental Health Awareness Day, October the 10th? I did not know that. And so I actually looked up more about Thursday and the Worldwide Mental Health Association to, you know, have a Mental Health Awareness Day. And they have a theme every year. And the theme for October the 10th for Mental Health Awareness Day was prevention of suicide. And I thought, well, isn't that timely? And I was wanting to prepare and show you a clip from my favorite film, A Beautiful Mind, because it also deals with overcoming or living with mental illness. And it just seemed like God was pulling all these things together that for this moment. And so that's why I'm kind of looking forward to sharing this with you now, because I think God is doing something that I couldn't have anticipated. And so with that, let's pray together. Gracious God, we do know that you are at work in our world and in our lives and in this time and place. We pray that as we open the scriptures to hear the stories of how you have been at work through James and John and the disciples, and most of all through your son Jesus, that we would be aware that his spirit is still here, still working among us now, and that there are miracles and healings that you still want to accomplish with us. We just pray for your spirit to open our hearts now as we look to your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I say, the story, as we look at the scriptures, I mean, imagine that. Now, the setting is, again, this is not Jewish folks. It's the Gerasenes. It's Jesus has crossed over. He's taking his disciples to an unfamiliar territory. And as soon as they get out of the boat, here comes a man who must have had a reputation, running towards Jesus. And Mark tells us about a little bit about this man. He lived amongst the tombs. He, you know, you couldn't restrain him. I want to be very cautious, but I want to put the caveat in their day, he would have been like the crazy guy. And I just know that's not a good term to use with mental health issues, but that's honestly what people would have thought about him. And so they would have been afraid of him. They would have avoided him. You know, and so he was forced to live out amongst the cemeteries, the tombs. I mean, who would live amongst the tombs? There was some comfort or some shelter that he might have, he felt there all by himself. They would have tried to restrain him. He was strong enough, he could break the chains. He would take stones and he would hurt himself with them. Now again, in the Bible times, 2,000 years ago, they didn't understand the world like we do today. And so the explanation for almost any illness, you know, physical or even mental, was it must be a demon. It must be spirits. And so their natural mindset was that this man was possessed by demons. In fact, the terminology that's used to describe him, he's the demoniac. In other words, somebody who's possessed by a demon. He even had, that was his, that's how Mark even refers to him. And so he must have, imagine his existence, the people would have shunned him, they would have been afraid of him, they would have wanted to avoid him when they saw him coming. He lived by himself out amongst the tombs. When Jesus gets out on the boat, for some reason, this guy sees Jesus and he comes running towards him. Can you imagine how the disciples are like, let's get out of here. But Jesus stood his ground. He comes up to him. And the man is yelling at him and said, and because he knows something's going on, you know, Jesus, I adjure you by the Son of God, don't torment me. Because Luke says earlier, Jesus had said to come out of this man, to cast him out. And Jesus says to the, he says, what is your name? Now it's interesting, we don't really know, was Jesus talking to the man? Or was he talking to the demons? I mean, the demons respond, or at least the man responds, as if it were the demons. He says, we are legion, for we are many. The thought line is that he's possessed by many demons. And they say, don't torment us. You know, the demons know that Jesus, as the Son of God, has power over them. Don't torment us. But look, there's a herd of swine. There's a herd of pigs. Let us go into the pigs instead. I mean, the mindset back then were demons inhabited some type of a form to live, either animals or humans or some way. And so they're saying, let us go into the swine instead. And that tells you we're not amongst Jews. Because, again, remember, for Jewish people, pork is unclean. So they would not have had pigs, especially a whole herd of pigs, being raised to eat or whatever. So you clearly, this is not amongst Jewish folks. The demons say, there's the, you know, a herd of swine. Let us go into them. And so Jesus gives permission. And they leave the man and they go into the pigs, the swine. And here's where, you know, I really don't understand about demons or how this story works out. Or, but something I think is clear, still clear about demonic activity, about the realm of the devil, is that it causes you to ultimately harm yourself. I mean, that's what was happening. The man, he was using stones to harm himself. When the demons go into the swine, I mean, their reaction is they run down the hillside into the Sea of Galilee where they're all drowned. And that if that isn't a clear description, no matter what you think about demons, demonic wrong activity contrary to God is people when they harm themselves. And so the swine, they go down and they're drowned, and all the swine herders, I mean the herdsmen, the people, they see this and they're like, what's going on? They go into town and they tell everybody, this is amazing. The town people come out, and now here's the demoniac. Here's the crazy guy. But he's no longer crazy. He's sitting there in his right mind. He's been healed. He's normal. And how did the people react? It scared them. They weren't used to this. How fascinating, when this man has been healed, the townspeople come to Jesus and they say to Jesus, would you please leave? We don't know what to do with you. This frightens us. Please leave our place. And so Jesus is going to get out back into the boat and go back over. And here's the man who'd been cured from the demons. And this is fascinating to me. He goes up and says, Jesus, let me go with you. He begs Jesus, can I follow you? Now, how many times did Jesus say, follow me and I make you fishermen. Come, follow me. Here's a man begging, Jesus, let me follow you. Let me go with you. And what does Jesus say to him? Nope. Nope. I mean, why would you follow somebody to find more, to learn more about them, to grow further? But Jesus, it's almost like, nope, you've got enough already. Nope, but you've received all you need for you. Instead, you go back home to your friends. And you tell them what God has done for you. Can you imagine what he would have thought about that? They all think I'm crazy. You want me to go back there? And yet indeed, okay, the man doesn't. I think it's maybe the first only times that Jesus says, no, don't follow me. You go back and tell the people in your town, your neighbors, your friends, what God has done. And it says he goes to the Decapolis, which was the region of the 10 cities, is what that means. And he goes everywhere telling about what God has done. I was this, and now I'm that. I was possessed, and now I'm normal. And word about Jesus spread throughout the area. Now again, I don't really know how to interpret in terms of demons or demonic activity, and when we try to apply that to the world today, you know, we don't really think about demons that are, you know, but we can recognize when people are not where they should be, especially when they harm themselves in some way. I mean, we don't want to call that demonic activity, but certainly we can call it mental illness. That just as there are physical ailments to our body, there are times when our minds don't work as they should, and we don't see things clearly. Again, I think a great definition of what the devil does or demonic activity is makes bad things look good and makes good things look bad. And we're all subject to that to a certain degree. But certainly for some people dealing with mental illness, it can even be a stronger thing to have to deal with. Now again, so I was wanting to help us understand that a little bit better, feel that, and so I want to show you a clip from the movie A Beautiful Mind, and I want you to set it up. If you remember that movie from several years ago, it's Best Picture of the Year. It was a very popular movie, and it's about a fellow named John Nash and his wife Alicia. John Nash was a mathematician. He was a student at Princeton University. He was brilliant. But he also suffered from schizophrenia. And so as he got older, he was delusional in that he saw these people or delusions that weren't real. And the movie depicts how he and his wife and the community deal with the mental illness of schizophrenia. And it's a great movie. And again, the clip I'm going to show you, what has happened is that John has been diagnosed with schizophrenia. He's been a professor at Princeton. I mean, just a very, very smart mathematician. He's written papers and so on, but he's also plagued by these demons or these delusions, one of which is like an FBI agent that tells him he's working for the government to crack this code against the Russians or something. Again, which is... and then another is a friend of his that has been his friend all his life named Charles that, again, is a part of his imagination. And then a third is a little girl that is also somebody that he has lived with or seen. He's gone through like this real terrific or horrific shock therapy treatment. He's been working with Dr. Rosen, who's like a psychiatrist. But through it all, his wife, Alicia, has been sticking by him and living with all the challenges of somebody that is delusional at times and even a danger to himself and others. But she has stuck with him, and she cares for him, and she... So what I want you to pay attention to is here's another episode. Now, he's actually been, after all that treatment, to get well, they're trying to put him back into a setting where he could be familiar. So he's back now at Princeton. He's just given permission to be back on campus and to, you know, study in the library and stuff, but he's still fighting these demons. I want you to watch, imagine the story out of the Bible and see some parallels of how this man is treated by the people around him, but also how he's healing, how the healing happens in this clip. And again, we'll see if we can't make some connections that way. So here's a part of A Beautiful Mind.
what you are, soldier? Some useless ghoul? The local madman? I'm not a soldier. You're gonna end up in a cell. Old, worthless, discarded.
There's no mission.
And while you rockin' drool, the world will burn to ashes.
You are not real. You are not real.
You're still talking to me, soldier.
There's no mission. I'm not a soldier.
John? John?
Hey, John. It's okay. I just heard what happened. I'm sorry, John.
I'm not a soldier.
John, hey, Nash, hey. Hey, you all right? Nash.
Ladies and gentlemen, great John there!
John?
You should have seen their faces. Everybody's just staring at me. Charles was there. Sometimes I really miss talking to him. Maybe Rose was right. Maybe I have to think about going back to the hospital again.
John, you can't ignore me forever.
Charles, you've been a very good friend. The best. I won't talk to you again. I just can't. Same goes for you, baby. I was wondering if I might audit your course.
It's an honor, Professor Nash. Is something wrong?
This will be my first class. Good morning. Eve, young minds.
Okay, do you see some of the parallels? How the healing occurred in the clip. What happened? She held his hand. She looked at him. The fellow that his friend, you know, just hugged him and said, John. He calmed down. And then the re-entry into the community. How difficult that might have been, but how he was welcomed there and found some healing. I love that movie. You ought to watch it again. But, you know, there's another great scene where somebody's asking his wife that stuck by him that whole time. And asked him how she was doing. And part of what the movie, the response was, she says, I often feel it's obligation or guilt over wanting to leave. Rage against John, rage against God. But then I look at him, and I force myself to see the man that I married. And he becomes that man. He's transformed into someone that I love. And I'm transformed into someone who loves him. It's not all the time, but it's enough. You see, something about the healing for the one of the most vulnerable in that setting with John Nash was there was somebody who loved him and could look at him and see the man that she'd married, and he became what she was seeing, and she was transformed and able to stick with him. Now, if you know the story, and again, I encourage you to watch the movie at some point, but then he also then, in 1994, won the Nobel Prize for mathematics and so on. So again, a fantastic, amazing story, but a story of healing and power. Now, that's how Jesus did it. That's the story there. But you know what? Look at how the disciples did it in the passage that Pastor Heather read. Another healing, a miracle story. Now it's after Jesus. It's James and John, and they're going by the temple. Here's another vulnerable person who physically can't walk. He's carried by the temple door, and people are walking by just to give alms. You know what that's like. Somebody who's giving, people may just pass by and maybe drop something in, but, you know, again, whether or not he's a non-person or whatever. But look how James and John handle it. Or it's Peter and John. They walk by. They see him there. He's asking for alms. Peter looked intently at him. Peter saw him. He looked at him, intently at him. And he said to the man, "Look at us." Now, the author included those details. Peter looked at him directly, intently, and invited, you know, he must not have been used to that. He told the man, "Look at us." He said, "I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do give you is in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And he reached out and he touched him. He took him by the hand. And there was again a healing, a miracle. He stood up, was able to walk, and went leaping and praising God. And I guess I want to suggest that's how God's healing can continue to happen through us. To value the vulnerable is, first of all, to see them. To look them in the eye, to know their name, to simply treat them as another person, whether it's a physical illness or a mental illness, and or someone else that's in need, that's in a vulnerable space, to see them as God sees them. Because really, aren't we all vulnerable at some point? All of us will be in need of somebody to help us out. And how wonderful it is when somebody treats us in that way. If we can see the people that we encounter this week, the vulnerable folks, as God sees them, look them in the eye, treat them like a person, call them by name, hear their story, reach out and touch them, God can work miracles, healing power through that interaction. So I want to pray with you and then give you your assignment. You know, we think about, again, it was Mental Health Awareness Week, suicide prevention. You know, when you look back on situations, well, what could I have done differently? You know, that's never a good question to ask because we'll never know going back. But to remember Todd's memory or others, going forward, suicide is preventable. Going forward, how can we be aware of the people that we encounter each week, treat them as God value them as God does? We never know what lives might be saved, what healing might happen, and what a difference that God can make through us. Would you pray with me? Gracious, loving God, we seek to give to you out of return that you have given to us. We pray that we would see the people all around us and especially value those folks who are vulnerable, who are in need, that we would be aware of how you want to use us to lift them up, to bring your healing, to bring your hope, to bring your power, your miracle. We claim it. We look forward to what you will do in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we receive our offering this morning, a reminder that this is a way that we continue the work of the church through the gifts that God has given to us, also through the ministry extended around the world through our United Methodist Church. You might remember to put, if you've got a story about your stewards of creation, you can put that in the offering this week, next week, in the coming weeks, as again, as a way of we're praising God. But let's now share our tithes and our offerings.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Oh,
Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Jesus, friend of sinners, the one who's writing in the sand, made the righteous turn away and the stones fall from their hands. Help us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring the people to their knees. Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our sights, cross over the lines, and love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. They're the reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast. But you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet. 'Cause you are good, you are good, and your love endures forever. You are good, and your love endures forever, 'cause you are good, you are good, and your love endures forever.
Would you please stand?
You are open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And I was the lost cause, and I was the outcast. Sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet.
Hey, the good news is that we value the vulnerable. It means that at times we're vulnerable, and God has valued us. Here's your assignment this week, to open your eyes and see those who God will bring to you, especially the vulnerable. See them, touch them, talk with them, learn their name. They're a person of which God can use you to bring healing and hope to their lives. You never know what someone's dealing with and the difference that you'll make by greeting them with the love of Jesus. For the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will go with you now and always. Amen.
I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down.
To others.